I owe much of the message this morning to a friend of mine by the name of Don Winton. Don is a world-class sculptor. He has crafted some of the Emmys that are handed out at Emmy Awards. He's often contracted by Disney to do some of their creative work. And he's amazing as a sculptor because he always begins with clay. It was my privilege to be his pastor for a number of years in Southern California. And as I got to know Don, he let me in on some of his trade. In fact, one Christmas season, I spoke out of Luke 2, where Simeon recognizes the baby Jesus in the temple. And a few weeks later, Don, in his ingenious ability, brought me this beautiful piece that he crafted of Simeon holding up the baby Jesus. You can almost look at his face and hear those words, "Let thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation to all of Israel." It's just a marvelous, beautiful piece. I treasure this piece. Don creates a piece like this. It's really made of a pottery of clay. He does it by creating a mold out of clay, and every detail is fashioned in clay. And then out of that clay, he creates around it. He creates a permanent mold out of which he can cast a number of these. And this is one of the first few he made. It's a beautiful piece. He's a genius as a sculptor. And then just a few years ago, he gave me this piece right here, which is a bust of Menachem Begin, the former Prime Minister of Israel. He actually took this piece made of this same mold, and he presented it personally to Menachem Begin. He has done this with numbers of world leaders. He'll create a bust of them. I believe the bust of President Reagan in the Reagan Library was made by Don Winton. And he actually made this while I was watching him. And I remember him still sculpting the details around the nose and face. He didn't quite have the eyeglasses done, but the amazing precision and patience that he brought into his task to work that clay. And I remember a marvelous conversation I once had to him while he was working on the original for this piece, with in his mind his goal to take and personally present this to then President Menachem Begin. And he talked to me about lessons he has learned, spiritual lessons he has learned from the clay, and spiritual lessons he has learned about the potter, the artist. Now, Jeremiah visits the potter's house. God says, "I've got a message. I've got a word picture I want to shape in front of you at the potter's house." And there, he was not just working on a stationary piece, crafting a statue like this, but the potter was just making a pot. And so instead of on a fixed platform like this, he would have had that pot on a wheel. He would have been pressing a foot pedal that was related to make to gears that would make this wheel turn, and he would fashion a pot. As the clay turned on the wheel, his hands would fashion a pot. You've probably all seen people do that. Now, that's not the kind of work that creates something like this, but it's still work with clay and work of a creative artist that creates either a pot on a wheel or a beautiful bust like this on a stationary platform. And all the principles are the same. And I was thinking about Jeremiah visiting the potter's house. And Don Winton began to talk, as he worked on this piece right in front of me, he began to talk about lessons, first of all, from the clay. And I have a few of them I just want to walk through with you briefly. They're there in your notes. And first of all, he said, "Jim, I want you to understand that not all clay starts out the same. Not all clay starts out the same." He said, there is some clay that just seems like it's made to be shaped. It's beautiful clay. It's pliable. It's moist. It's homogeneous. But he said, often that's not what you start with. Not all clay starts out that well. Some clay is pretty lumpy, kind of dry. It crusts. It breaks apart when you try to shape it. And it's just not a good quality clay. You've got to work with it. And I began to think, you know what? That's just like you and me, isn't it? Some of us, I imagine, you know, for the God who's infinite in power, I suppose no one of us are terribly harder to work with than another. But you know what? Some of us sometimes are more cooperative as clay than others, right? And not all clay, and not all our lives start out the same. Sometimes we come to a church like this, and we feel like everybody around us is more spiritual than we are. And you know, God, when it comes to raw material, I'm not that impressive when it comes to raw material. But Don taught me that God doesn't care about that. You know, any potter knows that there's going to be a variety of qualities of clay you start with. It doesn't matter. Here's what he said that stunned me, though. He said, the fact is, you know, whether you're good clay or bad clay, all clay is earthy. It's just, you know, really all clay is just sort of like sophisticated dirt, you know? It's just all earthy. You know, whether it's relatively better than others, in the big picture, it's still earthy. And then he pointed to one of his pieces and he says, but it ends up glorious when the potter's done with it. That was a wonderful lesson, a wonderful reminder for me. Then he said this, another lesson from the clay. He said the clay, as you're working with it, the clay may need to be reconditioned with moisture and pressure. It may need to be reconditioned from time to time with moisture and pressure. He says the important thing is that once the potter gets the clay in their hand, he has to pay constant attention to that clay because its tendency will be to dry out and deteriorate. And its tendency will be to be both lumpy and filled with air pockets. And the lumpiness, he said, of course, keeps you from fashioning something smooth and beautiful. But he said the air pockets are especially dangerous because unless you squeeze with pressure, unless you really knead that clay and squeeze out the air pockets, he said when you finally put your finished product in the kiln to fire it where it hardens, he said, those air pockets will explode. I mean, the whole thing will blow up, or little parts will just chip off. You know, the nose will just blow off because there's air pockets in there that also heat up when the clay is fired. And so he said, you need to be very, very careful that you get the lumps out and the air pockets out. It'll start getting lumpy and flaky as it dries out. And if you don't constantly be applying pressure with your hands and constantly giving attention to the clay, it can never just sit there. It's always got to be moistened and always got to be worked with pressure so that you never allow an air pocket to form in that clay or you never allow it to begin to dry out. Those are very biblical pictures. You've read the Bible, immediately the word images just come out to you. In fact, tonight I'm going to be talking about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And often the Holy Spirit is pictured as water, as that which moistens our lives, that which gives us pliability, the capacity of the Holy Spirit to cause us to drink. And you know, God, that's why God gives us His Spirit, to really begin to make this old earthy raw material God starts with in us in our old hearts. It begins to make our hearts pliable and workable by the power of His great hand. Part of that is that God constantly needs to pour out over us His waters. Otherwise, our hearts just sort of dry up. They become lumpy and crusty and flaky, and God can't shape what He wants in our lives. And then He brings pressure. He brings pressure. And you know, this is the part of being clay in God's hands. This is a part of being in God's hands we don't like. We'd like to be blessed. I mean, nonstop, 24/7. We'd love to be blessed. But it's the pressure that gets the air pockets, those cavities of character and strength inside, those places where there is no strength, it's just hollow. He wants to get those out because He knows when we step into the real purposes of His life, that's where we're going to cave in. That's where things are going to heat up and blow up in our lives. And so God wants to build character in our lives. And just like a sponge full of water or full of something, how do you know what's in that sponge? All you got to do is press it a little bit. You know what? What's inside you never shows when things are going well. But when you put a little pressure on you, it's what comes out. It's what blows up. That's what shows what's really inside of you. That's why God puts pressure in our lives. In fact, someone wrote this, pressed out of measure and pressed to all length. Pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength. Pressed in the body and pressed in the soul. Pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressed by foes and pressured by friends. Pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. You ever felt that way? But they go on to say, here's why. Pressed into knowing no helper but God. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod. Press into faith for impossible things. Press into tasting the joy of the Lord. Press into loving a Christ life outpoured. That's what God's after. When He moistens you and pressures you, He wants to press you into an outpoured Christ life because He's shaping something powerful in you. And as I heard Don Fink say, you know what? The potter constantly has to give attention to the clay, constantly moistening it, constantly pressing it. Began to realize that that really is true of our hearts, even in our cooperation with God. There's just something. You know, I've come to believe in my life that life is, you know, just a little bit what happens to me, but mainly what happens in me. And that, you know, my biggest problem is this old heart right here. My biggest problem this week won't be anything any of you say to me. It won't be the financial challenges for a new initiative in ministry. It won't be something in my home. It won't be something in my health. My greatest challenge today and for the rest of my life is pumping right here in my chest. It's my spiritual heart. That's what tends to get lumpy and hollow and dry. But I love the song that Keith Green wrote. He once said, you know, my eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold. He said, I know how I ought to be. Alive to you, Lord, and dead to me. And then he asked that incredible question, and I've asked this many times in prayer to the Lord, so what can be done for an old heart like mine? Keith Green answers it in his song, so soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love, so wash me anew in the wine of your blood. And there's something just powerful that happens when we come to forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and then God pours the wine and the water of His Spirit upon our hearts. And we've got to constantly give attention to our hearts. Above all else, Solomon said, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. That's the heart of the workability of the clay. And God is more concerned about what's happening in your heart than what's happening in your world outside. That's why He doesn't mind pressure on you from outside. And we're begging God to make life easier. Meanwhile, He's not concerned. We think our problem's out there. But God says, your problem's right here. It's tending that heart and keeping it where it ought to be before me. So like the potter with the clay, God's constantly working with our hearts. Can you say ouch to that? Okay, ouch. Sometimes here we say amen, but sometimes we say ouch. And then here's what Don said about the clay. When a mistake is made, the clay need not be discarded. This was incredible. He said, now Jim, I've worked with stone, carving stone as a sculptor. I've worked with wood, carving wood. He says, you know, the problem with stone and wood is you make a mistake. You know, you make that nose a little off center. And you know what you got to do? You got to throw it away and start over. Because you can't fix it. Once the sculptor is marred, you can't fix it. You got to discard it. But he says the beautiful thing about clay, and part of the wonderful reasons God would liken us as not just wood or stone in His hands, but clay. He said, with clay, if it's marred, you don't have to get rid of it. You don't discard it. You just break it down and start over. Isn't that incredible? That's what God wants to do in our lives. And this becomes part of the moral of the story. In verse 4 of Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah's watching the potter. And then look what it says. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so that the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. If this was wood, this was stone, the marredness would cause it to be discarded. But because it was clay, he formed it into another pot. I love the New Living Bible translation of Jeremiah 18:4 that we just read. It puts it this way, but the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So the potter squashed the jar into a lump of clay and started again. And this is the great story. In fact, over 700 years later, God would put the life of His own Son behind this capacity for Him to break down and start, give us a second chance. When He sent His Son, Jesus, to the cross. And it was at the cross of Jesus Christ that our sin was put on Jesus so that in return we could have a new start with His righteousness. It was at the cross that Jesus was wounded so that we in our woundedness might be healed. It was at the cross that Jesus was rejected and forsaken so that we in our forsakenness by God might be accepted by Him. It was at the cross that Jesus was broken so that we might be repaired. It was at the cross that Jesus was marred as that clay was marred in the potter's hands so that we could be remade. When you come to the cross, you come to God not meeting us at our best, not meeting us at our most moral condition, not meeting us at our most impressive. We find God in Jesus at the cross, meeting us at our worst when we've been found marred. And He was marred. He was broken. He was wounded for us so that the potter, in Jesus' name, could take our old lives and begin to remake them into something brand new. That's the cross. That's the beauty of what God did. My sculptor friend Don said, the beauty of the clay is that when you make a mistake, when it comes out marred, as Israel had come, they had gone their own ways. God had been fashioning them in His hand as His own people to contain as a beautiful vessel the glory of His destiny and purpose in the earth for His own people. But they had become marred. They'd run after other gods. They'd forsaken the potter and went after other little sticks and stones of gods. They'd forsaken their potter. And they'd become marred in their lives. But this gracious God, who would later send His Son to the cross to give every one of us a second chance, He said, I want you to notice, Jeremiah, that when the clay was found marred, the potter didn't throw it out. But He broke it down as He did His own Son 700 years later, and He remade it again. That's what He's doing in Jesus. He's remaking us. Those are wonderful lessons from the clay. But Don concluded our little conversation by talking about the potter, which he was as a sculptor. He said, Jim, I found some things out about working with the clay, about how I feel as a sculptor when I work with the clay. So let's just end in the last few moments with a few lessons from the potter, because we are in the Lord's hands and He is the potter. He said, first of all, God has a vision for our shape. God has a vision for our shape. He said, when I create a piece like this, He said, I'll probably do some rough sketches and some diagrams. He said, sometimes I do fairly detailed diagrams. Sometimes I just do pretty summary sketches just to give me a sense of dimension and proportion. But He said, whether I detail it out with pencil and pen and paper or not, He said, I have a sense. I can see in my mind what I want the finished product to look like. If any of you are artists, you know what that's like. You see in your mind and heart already what the finished product looks like. God has that. You know, God has in mind your finished product. I want to tell you this, although it's no surprise. Probably the majority of people in your life can't see the finished product yet. That's why they get on your case sometimes. That's why I don't pray for you with the kind of faith maybe they should. You know, and sometimes we can't see the finished product in each other. You know, if you're not an artist, all you see is a blob of clay. I remember what this looked like. You know what? When this was only half done, this particular one, it was ugly. It was. I go, how is he going to make something neat out of that? I can sort of see where a head is, but I think that looks like a nose, but I'm not sure. But God has in His heart a picture of the completed process that maybe those who love you can't even see. And you may not even see it in each other. But I want you to know that God sees it. In fact, look at Psalm 40 with me for a moment. Many, oh my, in verse 5, many, oh my God, are the wonders you have done. Well, what kind of wonders? Then he nails in on it. The things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. I mean, it's hard for us to visualize what the finished product looks like, the things you plan for us. And were I to speak and to tell of them, they would be too many to declare. I want to tell you, you may not understand what God's doing in your life today, but if you're in His hands, He is the potter. He's got a picture of what the finished product looks like. And it is beyond describing. And only He, the Creator of heaven and earth, can fully capture the destiny He has for you. Don Winton also told me that God, as kind of a second lesson from the potter, God feels delight and possessiveness over His work in us. Now, if you are an artist, how many of you are an artist of some sort, whether it be oil painting or sculpturing or craft making or whatever you would consider art? We'll just throw it all in. How many of you are artists in some way? Oh, quite a few of you. But you're going to understand exactly what Don told me next. He said, I get, when I start doing a work, he said, it's like I have to filter out the whole world because I just get absolutely absorbed in it. It's like you can't tear me away from it. And he said, there's just such a delight that fills and a passion for what this thing will become. And he says, it becomes such an extension of me that I actually start feeling possessive of it. He said, it is like for me to give this to you. He said, it's actually a little hard because I really feel like I'm giving part of myself away. I so delight and feel possessive in that which my own hands create and shape. Did you know God feels the same way about what He's doing in your life? Even at the times when, like with this piece, it didn't look very good. It was only a work of art halfway done. But God is absolutely absorbed, passionate, delights. He feels possessive over what He's shaping you to be. That's why He's so radical. That's why He's so vehement about this in Scripture, that He wants to share you with none other. No other God. No other God substitute. Because you are the product of His creative genius. Part of you is in Him. And He feels possessive. He wants to give you to no other. That's why I think Zephaniah captures it. Chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. And He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. And He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you believe God doing that over you? That's how the potter feels about the work of art He's shaping with His hand. And lastly, has to do with the potter's ability. As I talk with Don, I just realized that God wants to release His creativity in us. He is the potter. We are the clay. And God wants to release His creativity in us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Listen, when in Jesus, you come to put your life into the potter's hands. He just doesn't renovate you. He doesn't just redecorate you. He recreates you. Jesus said it's like being born all over again inside. You're a new creation. And you realize the God who created heaven and earth, He wants to take you like an old lump of clay. And He wants to begin to fashion His creative genius in you. Isn't that unbelievable? But so true. He's creating His power in you. What's our response to that? It's the rest of the moral of the story. The first half was that the lump was marred, so He had to rebuild it. Israel had gone away from God, had forsaken Him. They were marred in their lives. Everything we choose as a God substitute will ultimately destroy us. And visually, He shows Jeremiah how the potter can break that lump down and recreate it into something new. But He cooperates with our will in that process. And so here's the rest of the moral of the story. The next two verses, after He says, so are you, Israel. You're like my people. You're like clay in my hands, God says. And then He says, in verse 7 and 8, this is our response. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. He's saying, because I'm that kind of God. When you're marred, I want to not throw you out. I want to rebuild you and give you another chance. And He said, if you will choose for me, if you will put yourself back in my hands, He said, I will rebuild you. I'll not throw you out as a discarded old lump of clay that's marred and broken. I will reshape you just like the potter did. And that's the choice. And that's the message to Israel. God's saying, I want to remake you. I want to reshape you. And if you'll turn from other gods, if you'll come back to me, I will do it. Unfortunately, in verse 12, as the story goes on and as Israel hears this story, they say, in the New Living Bible version again, But Israel replied, Jeremiah, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, following our own evil desire. That's what Israel said back. And God's saying, no, you're already marked, but I can remake you. And Israel says back, Jeremiah, don't waste your breath. We just want our evil desires. But I want to tell you, that's not the choice you have to make today. Today we can put our lives back in the hands of the potter.